This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The ACLJ uncovers forced abortion coercion at the University of Vermont.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, we've got some really breaking news here, and this is really unprecedented. The fight for life is something we take very seriously at the ACLJ, as you know. This is something we've been engaged in for 40 years. But we've had something that is unprecedented in our history. We filed a complaint for discrimination against the University of Vermont because they were compelling nurses who had religious objections to abortions and forced their participation. It was forced coercion in abortion procedures. And we filed a complaint with not only with the university, but also with the federal government, Health and Human Services. This is a copy of the complaint. I'm holding it in my hands right now. What's redacted is the name of the nurses. We're not going to disclose that right now. But I have a big, big announcement. And that is today, this morning, the Department of Health and Human Services issued an order in our favor against the University of Vermont. We'll go into the particulars in a moment. But this could cost the University of Vermont $500,000 a year in federal funding. They are compelling coerced, forced abortion procedures involving nurses. In other words, the nurses were forced to participate in abortion procedures when they had staff that would have done it without an objection on the religious grounds. In this particular case, it's very important to understand this, they knew of the religious objections of our clients and then went forward and forced them to participate in this abortion procedure.
Yeah, I want to make sure this is clear to you. This comes from the federal government HHS release, the Health and Human Services.gov, for immediate release today, August 28, 2019. On May 9, 2018, a nurse at UVMMC, that's the University of Vermont Medical Center, filed a conscience and religious discrimination complaint with OCR. We, the ACLJ, represent that nurse. So we filed that complaint with the Office of Civil Rights at HHS against the University of Vermont Medical Center, which is in Burlington, Vermont, and receives federal funds from HHS.
To the tune of about $500,000 a year.
Contending that the nurse was forced to assist in abortion in violation of the nurse's conscience rights. As part of its investigation,
OC, this is coming right from their document.
Yes, from HHS. It's not from ACLJ. This is from your federal government, Trump administration, HHS. OCR contacted UVMMC repeatedly in a good faith effort to seek cooperation from the hospital, but the hospital refused to conform its policies to federal conscience laws, provide all the documents requested by Office of Civil Rights, or produce witnesses for the Office of Civil Rights to interview. Nevertheless, OCR interviewed multiple witnesses and gathered evidence concerning the allegation. And then it gets really troubling from there. One.
Well, here's what I want to do about this.
The first part is the key.
Okay, read the first one. There are five findings that are very significant here. We're going to take them one at a time. But we'll do the first one now before the break.
Yes.
We'll get to the other ones when we come back.
Because this is direct to our client and direct to the work of the ACLJ. We filed this complaint with HHS. We put them on notice. HHS then did their investigation. And they found this. Specifically determined that, one, the University of Vermont Medical Center forced the nurse complainant to assist in abortion against the nurse's religious or moral objection. The nurse had expressed an objection for many years and was included in a list of objectors, but UVMMC knowingly assigned the nurse to an abortion procedure. They forced her to take part in abortion, violating federal conscience laws while they receive federal taxpayer dollars.
And they knew that she had objections on conscience. So it was forced abortion coercion participation. That's what this is. And this is the finding. We're going to get into the actual findings from HHS. This is a huge victory. But this also points to the fact that we don't just talk about the issues here. We don't just work on legislation, which is all important. But we actually are in court or dealing with agencies defending life. And you're seeing that victory today. We're in a matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. We only have 4 days left. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. Back with more in just a moment, including your calls, 800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
If you're just joining us, we've had a major decision today, and that is out of the Health and Human Services, they've issued an order to the University of Vermont that was forcing abortion coercion of nurses and medical professionals to engage in abortion procedures against their conscience. That's bad enough. Bad enough that they're doing abortions at the hospital anyways. Then bad enough that they're forcing and coercing the participation in the abortion procedure. And then take it one step deeper. And this is the thing that bothers me, I think. I mean, the whole thing bothers me, but this, I'm very happy with the conclusion of this. But CeCe Hiles here, senior counsel for the ACLJ, you pointed this out in our pre-meeting, our pre-broadcast meeting, they had nurses and other medical professionals that would have participated in these procedures. These people were on a list to not participate, and they compelled them to do it.
Yeah, so these were elective abortions. This is not something that's an emergency that's life-threatening. These were elective abortions. So they could have absolutely scheduled nurses that do not have an objection to performing abortions. And they did not. They intentionally scheduled the nurses that had an objection that was registered with the hospital. They scheduled those nurses that they knew morally objected to abortion to participate. And sometimes they would not tell them until they walked into the operating room.
That's what we found out in our case. HHS and our client found that the nurse, who was our client, was not told the procedure was an abortion until the nurse walked into the room when the doctor, knowing the nurse objected to assisting in abortions, told the nurse, quote, "Don't hate me." The nurse again objected, and other staff were present who could have taken the nurse's place, as CeCe said. This is from HHS. But the nurse was required to assist with the abortion anyway. If the nurse had not done so, the nurse reasonably feared, this is from the Department of Health and Human Services, about our client, that the University of Vermont Medical Center would fire or report the nurse to licensing authorities. That is only point one of really five major conclusions.
I want to go through
made.
Those. Yeah, I want to go through. Here's the holding. So, you know, we always look for, in your lawyer, you look for the holding. So this is to our audience. Again, if you're just joining us, this is really breaking news. For the first time that we know of, HHS has issued an order that will suspend federal funding to a hospital that forced its nurses against their religious and conscience objections from performing abortion procedures. And as CeCe just mentioned, that was made even worse by the fact that they had a situation where they had others available that could have actually done this. But let me read you the five findings. We'll go through each one first. The University of Vermont's Medical Center has forced, and this again, right from the order, has forced and attempted to force healthcare personnel, including nurses, so not just nurses, into assisting with abortions over their conscience-based objections. So number one, they established there was a conscience-based objection to the abortion procedure, and they were, look at the word they use, forced them to participate into this procedure. That's number one. Number two, the University of Vermont intentionally, unnecessarily, and knowingly schedules nurses or other healthcare personnel who have religious or moral objections to abortion to assist with the abortion. So, Cece, let's elaborate on that. We're going to go through each one of these, but let's elaborate on that one.
Yeah,
that, to me, is the most egregious.
That's terrible, because that's intentionally. That this isn't just, oh, we made a mistake, or we didn't, you know, or we didn't have anybody else available. This is they intentionally did it. They wanted to violate these nurses who have a moral objection to killing a baby. They wanted to force them to have to participate in
it. All right. That's just two. Here's number three. University of Vermont subjects healthcare personnel, including nurses, who have religious or moral objections to abortion to different terms or conditions of employment than healthcare personnel who do not share the same religious or moral objections. In other words, in that particular case, they're treating pro-life medical personnel differently than they're treating medical personnel that are pro-abortion. So if you're pro-abortion, you're treated one way, given all kinds of accommodations. If you're pro-life and you're opposed to abortion, Jordan, you're treated separately. In the law, that's not equal justice under the law. That's not equal protection of the laws.
It is abortion distortion. And this time, HHS said no more. So you don't think elections have consequences? You don't think who's in charge of the executive branch? Even when it can be tough goings in the legislative branch on pro-life legislation right now. Look at what HHS can do. President Trump's Health and Human Services can do for the pro-life movement by taking the orders, using existing law, and actually enforcing it. And you know what? We've learned previous administrations in the past, they had these laws on the books. They didn't enforce them. It didn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat.
Yep.
They didn't enforce them. And what we found here is it wasn't just our client who was brave enough to take this complaint to HHS and their Office of Civil Rights. How many? There were a number of nurses HHS identified. So think about how many around the country are being forced against their will and against the law to perform abortion procedures.
So
I think this is like the IRS case. It's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I think it is the tip of the iceberg. It is like the IRS case. So Alex Azars is the HHS secretary. He's done a great job. He has specifically stated, I don't know if we have the audio on this, that he's pro-life and takes a pro-life position. As if that now disqualifies you from government service. Well, it doesn't. As Jordan just said, elections have consequences. One of the consequences is you get Alex Azars as HHS secretary and hires a staff that understands that violating people's conscience is not a good thing to do. Here's the other thing. So we just said that they have religious or moral objections and they treat people differently. Here's another one. University of Vermont discriminates against healthcare personnel because of their religious beliefs or moral convictions in opposition to abortions. So this is specific finding, Cece, by HHS, that in fact there is a violation of a discrimination based on religion.
Yes, and once again, because it's completely intentional. This is not by mistake. This is not because we don't have anybody else who can perform these procedures. This was intentional discrimination, making them violate a closely held religious belief.
Now, look, I have litigated what we call viewpoint discrimination cases for 35 years before the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, I've had cases in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, up until about 2010. So I've done these cases. And I will tell you that we win these viewpoint discrimination cases 9-0. This is a step beyond viewpoint discrimination, though. This is viewpoint discrimination. Yes, we're treating you differently, but then there's a compulsion aspect of this. We are compelling you to participate, forced participation in the abortion procedure. That's the coercive element of this, with the risk of, A, in this particular case, they didn't tell them until they were in the operating theater, in the operating room. And then B, of course, they didn't recognize their rights when they knew their right. In other words, the University of Vermont was fully aware that these healthcare professionals did not have to participate in abortion procedures. They are fully aware of that. It wasn't like their defense was, we did not know. They knew full well.
Right. And what HHS also points out is, in just last year, 2018, the university implemented its conflict of care policy. And that's exactly where they say refusal to perform the assigned job function, basically they'll lose their job. And that's what they use. They use this conflict of care policy to say you're going to lose your job unless you perform this.
I'm going to save the conflict of care policy for the next segment because that's where you get it's okay. You get into the viewpoint discrimination issue. But I want to reset this so everybody understands exactly what we're talking about here. So we filed a complaint with HHS. Here it is. This is what we filed with HHS. If you're watching on TV, Periscope, over the website, you're seeing this. Facebook, there it is. That's the complaint. We filed that. That starts the investigation. So we requested an investigation of the University of Vermont's Healthcare Center. So that's what started this whole thing. And then HHS got involved. Let's go through that, Jordan, with what HHS did. I think that's important for people to understand. They started an investigation.
That's right. So they start an investigation. They look into this matter. And so on May 9, 2018, we filed the complaint with the Office of Civil Rights with HHS, Department of Health and Human Services, on behalf of our client, a nurse at the University of Vermont Medical Center, which is known as UVMMC. Our complaint alleged it was a conscience and religious discrimination complaint that the center forced the nurse to assist in an abortion in violation of the nurse's conscience rights and the federal laws that protect those conscience rights. As a result of the investigation, so that was filed in May of 2018, just a little bit more than a year later, August 28th, 2019.
Today.
Today. The University of Vermont Medical Center was found to have forced the nurse to assist in an abortion against her will and moral and religious objection. The nurse was not told the procedure was an abortion until she walked into the room.
Think about that.
That they knew that she objected to abortions. This is all found by HHS. Now they have 30 days to either comply with HHS or lose all federal funding in the future.
And the federal funding is about $500,000. We're reading you directly from the order. Now, coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, Frank Mannion, senior counsel for the ACLJ, he handled this case. He's going to talk about it. We're coming to a break. Let me encourage you to do something. You see the work of the ACLJ. You know we're in a matching challenge campaign. We are representing this nurse, and as Jordan said, this is probably the tip of the iceberg, one of the most extreme cases we've ever seen, by the way. But I suspect it's the tip of an iceberg that we're going to be able to help people around the country. Your support of the American Center for Law and Justice allows us to do that. Without your support, we don't get to do it. So what we'd like you to do in this matching challenge means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. Let me encourage you right now to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and donate whatever you're led to donate. $5 is 10, 10 is 20, 20 is 40. That's how it works in a matching challenge campaign. We do it 4 times a year. And this is the last one until the end of the year. So we encourage you to do that. Again, ACLJ.org. That's how we get these lawyers in the field to engage these issues. ACLJ.org. I'll encourage you to participate in our matching challenge campaign. We come back from the break. Senior counsel Frank Mannion, who handled this case, is going to be with us. We've got lawyers deployed in New York right now in another life case. We'll talk about that one probably tomorrow. But that's what gives you an idea of what we're doing. ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Well, big win today out of Health and Human Services. I want to, and we're going to have Frank Mannion come on, but before I have Frank come on, I'm going to go play for you, which is what the Secretary of Health and Human Services has said about the pro-life position. This is when we talk about elections having consequences. Here's one. Take a listen.
Let me be really clear. President Trump, Vice President Pence, and I are part of a pro-life administration. We stand for protecting the sanctity of human life from conception until natural death. Part of that is this regulation you mentioned that we put out that prevents these Title X family planning monies from going to supporting the abortion enterprise. For too long, that money has been used to subsidize the provision of abortion.
There you have it. I mean, that's your HHS secretary. It's pretty refreshing, I have to say. Frank Mannion, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Frank, how did this case start?
Case started, Jay, by this nurse in Vermont contacting us. Actually, she was referred to us by a doctor at UVMMC. We went up and met with her, Jeff Surtees and I, and we've made several trips up there as part of this investigation and part of our investigation. And we were obviously aware of the existence of the Office of Civil Rights, especially the new Conscience and Religious Freedom Division that was created in January of 2018. So we filed the complaint that you've already showed the viewers and talked about with the listeners. It's been a while. I can say this. You know, there's not too much I can say about the investigation. We weren't privy to all parts of their investigation, but it was an extremely thorough, painstaking investigation. Jeff and I sat in a room a couple weeks ago where three seasoned attorneys from the Department of Health and Human Services grilled our client for over 5 hours about every aspect of her story, up and down, left and right, trying to make sure that they, you know, were on solid ground in what they've done today. And that was in addition to a 2.5-hour telephone interrogation that they had conducted over previously. And after they spoke to our client, they went and interviewed, it's my understanding, approximately a half dozen other UVMMC employees. They have solid grounds for what they've done today, and we're just thrilled that finally somebody is enforcing the Church Amendment.
Well, the Church Amendment's been around since, Cece, you're saying this, since 1973.
Exactly. So this is nothing new. It's never been enforced, ever.
Yeah, I mean, this is the irony of this is, you say all these administrations, Democrats, Republicans, nobody enforced this, Frank.
Nope, nobody. And, you know, that's what I was echoing what Jordan was saying earlier. We've filed complaints with HHS over the years, and we didn't, you know, after a while we realized they weren't going to go anywhere. We've even tried to bring causes of action in lawsuits that we filed, but because the Church Amendment, it can't be enforced privately. There's no private right of action. We've always been shot down. This is what we need to have done, and today it's being done.
I'll tell you this. Look, this is a major victory. I mean, a really significant victory for our clients and for the life cause. And there's no question about it. But, you know, Cece, I want you to reiterate a point and then get Frank to comment on this. The thing that it's all shocking. But what's really shocking is they have this, like, list of people that have conscience objections.
Yes.
And they ignore it.
Absolutely.
Not only ignore it, you say intentionally.
Not only ignore it, I'd say they actually use it to see now who has an objection to performing an abortion. Those are the people that we are going to force to participate in abortion against their moral objection that we have on record. And we have other people that can do it, but we don't want to.
Hearing from our radio team, we're getting a lot of calls into 1-800-684-3110, which is if you want to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We haven't given that number out a lot today because we've been updating you on this issue. But if you do want to talk to us on the air, that is the number you call to be on the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of people are calling in saying, can I donate with this phone number? Now, of course, we encourage you to donate online to aclj.org. It's the quickest, easiest way to do it. But if you prefer to be part of this matching challenge by phone, I will give you the number. It's a toll-free number. It's 877-989-2255. That's the number you would call right now if you want to be part of the matching challenge and make your donation by phone rather than aclj.org. You can still be part of the matching challenge. Again, it's 877-989-2255. If you want to be on the air with us live today, you call 1-800-684-3110. 684-3110.
All right, so Frank, let me read. This is one of the findings from HHS. University of Vermont Medical Center intentionally, unnecessarily, and knowingly scheduled nurses or other healthcare personnel who have religious or moral objections to abortion to assist with abortion. That's what Cece was just talking about. Explain to everybody what that actually means.
I can give you some more insight on that from our client's own statements that she gave to HHS. At this hospital, each day the managers would sit down towards the end of the day and schedule the next day's procedures, okay? There were people on the nursing staff who preferred not to work on certain kinds of cases for strictly medical reasons. They didn't feel as proficient in vascular surgery, let's say, or they preferred to work later in the day. Never were those people scheduled for the thing that they said they didn't feel comfortable doing. But frequently, very frequently, the people who were on the conscientious objector list for abortions found themselves, when they showed up for work the next day, on the board, scheduled to go into an abortion procedure in, let's say, 15 minutes. And that puts them in the most difficult situation. Sure. Of having to go hat in hand to their boss and try to get their boss to accommodate their religious beliefs. And that's got to stop. And we think that's what HHS really is getting angry about here.
Frank, what was the time frame of this? I mean, people need to understand how long, you know, this, it moved actually for government. This moved very quickly. This was a lot of work by you and your team to get this thing to this point, to get this case to this point.
I mean, we were first contacted in April of 2018, and we filed this complaint in May. But, you know, just reading what HHS has issued today, they were doing a lot of things behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Yep.
You know, it's not their role to tell everybody what they're doing. You know, we knew certain things they would do when they would want to speak with our client. We provided them with some names of other nurses, and I believe those are some of the nurses we see referred to in what they've issued today. So, yeah, I'm impressed with the investigation that they did, the parts of it that we were privy to, and I'm sure that the parts that we weren't privy to were just as thorough. And they weren't going to go off here, you know, without making sure they had all their I's dotted and T's crossed. And I'm happy to see that's what they've done.
I mean, as Frank said, HHS found that there were a number of healthcare personnel there, at least since the spring of 2017, who intentionally, unnecessarily, and knowingly were scheduled by the University of Vermont Medical Center to assist with elective abortions. So abortions for no health reason whatsoever against their known moral or religious objections. So it wasn't just our client. Our client helped lead the charge at this one hospital. But what HHS found was that this was going on widespread with the nurses and medical staff.
And this is a huge issue, folks, and a huge win. Frank is going to join us in the we're going to come back in after this break. We're going to come back. We're going to reset it. Then in the next segment, we want to have Frank back on to continue talking about this. Let me say this, folks. This tells you why your support of the ACLJ makes so much sense. Your support makes a huge difference. And I want to encourage you right now to support the work of the ACLJ. And I want to encourage you to make that matching challenge a reality. We're very close to going a little bit ahead. We're right now about even. We want to get ahead of last year by about 5 or 7%, that kind of range. Your support makes a huge difference. I want to encourage you. Jordan's going to give you a phone number. If you want to participate by phone, you can do that. Let me first give you ACLJ.org. Obviously, that's the easiest way to do this. ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate, it's not only tax deductible, we get a matching gift for. But a number of people are calling in and saying they want to donate by phone.
That's right.
We'll give you that number as well.
So here's the toll-free number you call. You can still be part of the matching challenge. We encourage you to donate online. It's the quickest, easiest way to do it for the ACLJ and for you at ACLJ.org. But if you want to be part of the matching challenge, you feel more comfortable making your donation by phone, your tax-deductible donation, here's the toll-free number you call. It's 1-877-989-2255. And someone will answer the phone. They'll take your donation. 1-877-989-2255. And as long as you make that call this month, you'll be part of the matching challenge. So you can do it today. 877-989-2255 or online very quickly and easily at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Freedom. I'm talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
We are aggressively pursuing the defense of life, and we saw the aggressiveness of our legal team pay off this morning. We got an order from HHS. They've issued an order to the University of Vermont where they have really put the University of Vermont on notice that they have violated, through the Office of Civil Rights, our client's constitutional rights and others as well. It ended up not just being our client. We had others that we referred. But I want to say what this is. Could you imagine forced abortion coercion participation? In other words, you are being compelled as a healthcare professional to participate in an abortion procedure. That's what this is. Forced compulsion into abortion procedures when you're known to have a moral and religious objection. There is a doctrine, it's a law, church amendment, church law, and it's been on the books, as Cece said earlier, and I'm going to ever say it again, since 1973. What does the law say?
Yes, so since 1973, it says, no entity which receives a grant, contract, loan, or loan guarantee under the Public Health Service Act after June 18th, 1973, may discriminate in the employment, promotion, or termination of employment of any physician or other healthcare personnel, or discriminate in extension of staff or other privileges to any physician or other healthcare personnel because of his religious beliefs or moral convictions respecting sterilization procedures or abortions. So that's been June 18th, 1973, and we've never seen it enforced until today. So we talked about this is just the tip of the iceberg. I know that there are a lot of nurses, doctors that have been forced, coerced into performing abortions against their moral objections because the hospitals have not been complying with this, although they've been getting taxpayer money all along.
I will tell you this. This is a huge victory. We're going to be joined by Frank Mannion. He was on earlier. But this was a big victory with big findings. I mean, the HHS, to say our clients' rights were violated, but the hospital risks $500,000 a year in federal funding over this.
Yeah, you know what I love to hear from? If you're out there, I know a lot of people are listening. They're getting up to date on this. This is groundbreaking. HHS has never taken action like this. HHS, we've talked about in the past, has been one of the federal bureaucracies that I think has been most hostile, especially their bureaucrats, to the pro-life position. Remember, they were the administrators. They are the administrators of the Affordable Care Act, which Planned Parenthood was the only outside group in the room when the Affordable Care Act and the provisions on abortion funding were being drafted. It was the Obama administration plus Planned Parenthood. No one else was allowed in that room. So they've been extremely hostile to life. From Republican administration to Democrat administration, the bureaucracy there has really ruled. No more under Secretary Azar and President Trump and Vice President Pence, who've put in a pro-life message. Remember, from the very top, HHS said, we are now going to defend life at conception. They've changed their entire policy at HHS. We're now seeing that come into reality. Remember when HHS announced that? We're now defining life and our role as protecting life from conception through birth, through your entire life. That's the role of HHS. And now you're starting to see a broad policy position like that, which is very pro-life, into action. Folks, this is an ACLJ victory because of your support. It took about 16 months. That's quick for the federal government. But it took us filing the complaint with HHS, knowing in the past this was an uphill battle. HHS doing an investigation, finding that nurses who are federally protected by law not to have to perform abortions were being forced to perform abortions by taxpayer-funded university hospitals, in this case, Vermont. And it wasn't just our client the HHS found after doing the review. It was many other nurses and medical professionals who were being forced. They weren't even told what they were about to have to do until they were in the room. And the doctors would say things like, don't hate me for doing this to you. Well, these schools are in real trouble now. Their federal funding is in jeopardy. That means the money your taxpayer dollars go to. We need your support. I bet there are thousands of these cases out there. Let's fight them all. Donate to the ACLJ so we can do just that. Right now, whatever you donate is doubled. Effectively double. Make that donation online. Be part of our matching challenge this month of August at aclj.org. Let's fight these cases all over the country. aclj.org. You can donate by phone as well, 877-989-2255.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about a huge win at the ACLJ, and this, of course, was on this pro-life issue against the University of Vermont, forced coercion, abortion participation. Frank Mannion's a senior counsel with the ACLJ. He's back on the phone with us. He's handled this case. I got a call that's coming, and we want to get right to Frank. I think this would be a good way to start this segment off. Let's take it.
Yeah, Mark is calling from Missouri. I think it's a great question. Mark, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I love what you guys do.
Thanks.
My question, could this be retroactively enforced? I'm sure they violated this law years previously, and I'm sure there are people who would complain about it.
Well, I think it's an interesting question. So, Frank, you look at this. We said this law's been on the books since 1973. It's really never been enforced until now. This administration's enforcing it, but it does take lawyers like the ACLJ, your team, our teams here, to move this forward. I mean, in a sense, it's all retroactive because these are situations that already happened.
Exactly right, Jay. And, you know, there's language in what HHS has done today talking about, you know, requiring the university to come into compliance, but also say there's language about remedying past violations. Now, what HHS exactly means by that, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But it does certainly seem to us that they have left the door open for going after past violations, however they're going to do that.
Yeah, I want to ask our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson. You look at this from a policy perspective. We have a law that's been on the books, Harry, since 1973, before I was practicing law. And it's been on the books, not really enforced. Now we get not only an enforcement, but, I mean, an unbelievable finding. How significant do you think this is?
Well, I think it's very, very significant, but it also points out a particularly important fact. And that fact is it's very, very important to have an administration that is willing to enforce the law. In virtually every other area of non-discrimination, government agencies have aggressively enforced the law, but not with respect to conscience and not with respect to religious and moral objections. So it's very, very important that over time, we consider amending this law to provide a private right of action that would lead to greater enforcement down the road.
That's a good point. About a private right of action would be a good way to handle it. Yeah,
but I think what's strong here and what the caller was getting to is that, one, we're protecting the employment now of these nurses. I think they now know, under at least this HHS, if you have felt like this has happened to you and you're out there and you're listening to this broadcast right now, and it, like these other nurses that started talking to the investigators from HHS who went up to the hospital, you know that your job won't be in jeopardy by complaining about this, by filing this complaint, because the law is on your side. And then part two, the funding for the entire medical center will be in question and under serious review if they don't come up with a very quick new compliance rule within 30 days. And if they don't, HHS says, we're forwarding this over to our administrators. Your funding's basically going to be cut. And for the last three-year period, which you've been doing for a number of decades, you got, you know, it was a $1.6 million. So whatever you relied on there is not going to be there for you. But as Frank said, they also noted that part of this will be to take, quote, immediate steps to remedy the effect of its past discriminatory conduct. And I wonder if that gets to what Harry's talking about as well, that there is some kind of right that can be protected where you somehow try to make whole, even though it's impossible when you force someone to take part in an abortion procedure, somehow compensate these nurses who have been forced to do this in violation of the law.
Yeah, so what is the remedy here for them, in a sense? I mean, they're vindicated. This won't happen again. I don't know if our client still works there or not. What's the situation for them, Frank?
Well, I mean, there are possible causes of action that they would have, Jay. I can say that in our client's case, she has chosen, as you can tell, she's chosen to remain anonymous.
Yep.
She's trying to move on with her life. She's not particularly interested in pursuing
sure.
that sort of litigation, because you can just imagine it. She would be re-traumatized by having
yes,
to go through the whole 100%. Thing
yep.
through the process of litigation. So we're respecting that. But in theory, and we did over the course of the past year and a half talk to her about, you know, pursuing possible remedies. So there are civil remedies that could be pursued if an individual was willing to do that, and we'd certainly be interested in talking to anybody about those possibilities because they definitely exist.
But here's
for one thing, you have Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. You know,
right.
This is religious discrimination.
Well, they did find it to be religious discrimination. It was a moral and religious conscience objection. CC, you find that the most difficult or the most shocking aspect of this is that they had people ready to go that could have. They intentionally knew
yes.
that these individuals objected.
They did it intentionally. That it blows my mind. It wasn't just, oh, we just didn't have anybody else, or we forgot you were on a list, or it won't happen again, we're so sorry. They literally targeted these nurses and medical professionals, targeted them for their moral objection, and intentionally forced them to perform an abortion.
You know, I want you to put on, Wes, your of course, military guy, and you're a senior military analyst here at the ACLJ, but you're also a pastor. Frank just said something to me is very important, that the trauma that these individuals went through as people.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. My wife is a surgery nurse, and what happened in Vermont happens in other places. This happened to her, where she was brought into a case, not told in advance that it was an elective abortion, and when she asked to be relieved, her supervisor refused to release her. She was traumatized, found it horribly offensive. This actually happens. And the thing about the determination letter by HHS is that they said this is not only discriminatory, but motivated by discriminatory intent.
Yeah.
They targeted these people. They showed flagrant disdain for their moral and religious objections.
But your wife experienced this.
She did, and she is still bothered by it to this day, that she was forced to participate in killing an unborn child.
Frank, are we at the tip of the iceberg here?
Oh, definitely, Jay. And I echo what Wes was just talking about. You know, in technical terms, our client has said she had already, it wasn't until after she had scrubbed in to the procedure that she was told what the procedure was. And as she put it, once I'm scrubbed in, if I leave that room, it's considered patient abandonment, I'll definitely be fired, and I probably lose my license to be a nurse. So that's the dilemma they put these people in knowingly and intentionally, as HHS has found.
I want to say something here, Jordan. You said this, you know, we said this is, reminds us of the Tea Party cases in
yeah.
a sense, where we had, first it was, within a couple of days this happened, we had one or two, then 10, then 40.
Yeah.
It just like it mushroomed exponentially in minutes or days.
There's a way to contact us at ACLJ.org.
Yeah.
So if you are a medical professional, it wasn't just nurses that were found to be having their rights violated by HHS, but other medical professionals at the University of Vermont Medical Center. So if you are someone who's been in a similar situation, and as you can see, you can remain anonymous. We can represent you, and through this complaint process through HHS, you can remain anonymous. You can continue your employment so it doesn't put your employment in jeopardy. But if this has happened to you, where you've been pressured into carrying out a procedure against your religious conscience, like abortion, or being part of that procedure, not being told what you were even going to be doing, all of that, you need to contact us, the American Center for Law and Justice. It's important that we hear from more of you. And I have a feeling we're going to be hearing from a lot more of you as well, especially now that you know you can remain anonymous. We're keeping our client anonymous here. You can file the complaint. HHS keeps it anonymous. The school keeps it anonymous. The university hospital keeps it anonymous. So we want to hear from you if you have been in this situation before. And even the idea that you could be put in this situation before would violate HHS policy. So an employer telling you, well, we can't hire you if you're not going to perform abortions, that would also violate the HHS policies. So contact us through ACLJ.org. We have a contact legal help section, and it's a great place to go. Again, we respond to everybody. We've got attorneys ready for you.
So let me tell you what's happened here. Just give you the context. So we had a client who objected, was put in this horrible situation, forced to participate in an abortion. She objected, but there was nothing. The procedure, and again, I think it's very important for Frank to underscore this. Frank underscored that the procedure, basically, she was scrubbed in. So you ran all kind of risks if she would have walked out at that point.
Yeah, I mean, she could not walk out of that room without losing her license and definitely losing her job. And she asked someone who did not object, who was perfectly able to step into her place to do it, and she simply refused. And it was all because this was part of what our client, I think, rightly has called a systemic disdain for conscience rights at UVMMC. And she puts it perfectly that way. That's exactly what we're talking about here. This was not just her. It was anybody who was pro-life, was looked down upon, made fun of, and assigned procedures that they consider to be the equivalent of taking a human life.
I'll tell you what you've got here, just so everybody understands what we're dealing with, and I think this is very, very important to understand. This is a defense of life. This is a HHS pro-life administration that made a big difference here because, as everybody said, this law has been on the books for, you know, since 1973. I don't recall it. I'm trying to rack my brain, Harry. Has it ever? I don't ever recall it being applied like this.
The statute, the Church Amendment, has been honored in the breach. In other words, it has remained virtually unenforced by all administrations prior to this one, Democrat and Republican.
All right, your support of the ACLJ allows us to get wins like this. We're in a matching challenge campaign. If you want to participate, it's ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Now, you can also do it by phone. Some have asked. Jordan's going to give out that number as well.
All right, folks, the number you call if you want to donate and be part of our matching challenge, because we've gotten a lot of calls about that, the number you call is 877-989-2255. You can make your matching challenge donation by phone, 877-989-2255. But it is very quick, easy, safe, and secure to make your matching challenge donation right now online at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Well, we have an announcement to make, too.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. And good news for life. Our producer, Will, who's very involved in the show, sometimes you hear his voice, and in the production of the show and the content of the show every single day, he and his wife welcomed in their second child this morning, just a little bit before we went on air. Henry William Haynes, who was born at 10 pounds, I think 7 ounces, 20 inches long. This is their second child. So congratulations to Will and his wife, Samantha, and welcome to the world, Henry William Haynes.
By the way, we're getting reports that could be tonight or tomorrow that the Inspector General is issuing a report on, it may just be a report on James Comey. That's what some of the reports are right now, that it may be just a report. The report that comes out now is just on the activities of James Comey. Be an interesting weekend going into the holiday. Here we go. All right, but we're talking about a big win. Let me, again, set up what's happened here. We've got 5 specific findings. The University of Vermont forced and attempted to force healthcare professionals to violate their conscience by engaging in abortion procedures. They intentionally, unnecessarily, and knowingly scheduled nurses and other healthcare personnel who have religious or moral objections to abortion to assist with these procedures. They subjected healthcare personnel who have religious and moral objections to abortion to different terms and conditions of employment. On that one, Harry, that is classic, basically, viewpoint discrimination.
Absolutely. So essentially what we have is anti-religious discrimination. We have viewpoint discrimination. And we have really a violation of fundamental moral principles. And so what is really essential is for government agencies to enforce the law and to provide freedom to those who have religious and moral beliefs.
But this even goes beyond, I was thinking about this, it goes beyond religious discrimination or viewpoint discrimination, because Wes, and you, I think it's important, say what happened to your wife as a nurse, because this compelled participation. So it's one thing to say, we're going to discriminate against your viewpoint and not give you the same pay raise we give everybody else. It's another thing to say, to come back and say, hey, we are compelling you to take an action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christina was scrubbed in on the case, was not told in advance that it was an elective abortion, and she could not abandon the patient, and so she was absolutely trapped there. And I mentioned during the break, Jay, I think it's interesting, the Burlington Free Press is reporting that Allie Stickney, who is the chair of the Hospital Board of Trustees in Vermont, is a former senior leader at Planned Parenthood.
So, Frank, how does that play into it?
Well, we have that in our complaint that we filed with OCR originally, Jay. There's no question in my mind that plays a big part in this. Planned Parenthood is in this. Planned Parenthood knew about the hospital's plan to allow elective abortions at UVMMC long before the hospital bothered to tell the nursing staff. And that's one of the reasons this was happening. That was something that came to light as part of HHS's investigation. They told Planned Parenthood, we're going to start doing elective abortions, but they didn't bother to tell the nurses. So the nurses show up for work and see D&C on the board. They think they're dealing with a miscarriage. UVMMC and Planned Parenthood know it's actually an abortion. And that's one of the most insidious aspects of this, and there's a definite Planned Parenthood connection here.
So, Cece, what do you view as like the top 2 takeaways on this?
Well, Planned Parenthood always has its hands, and I would say maybe tentacles involved in these. So we always know that they're involved somehow. Here, the president of the board, and she was the one that reversed the policy where they only did medical necessary abortions, and now they do elective abortions. And then they intentionally deceive their medical staff, just like Frank said, that they think they might be coming in for a miscarriage. But no, they are doing an elective abortion. So they deceive them, and then they intentionally target all of the medical staff and nurses that have a moral objection to killing a baby. They force them to take part of that murder process. And I don't know how you ever overcome that. I mean, as a mother, as a woman, I don't know how I could ever forget that I participated in the taking of an innocent baby's life. And that, I don't know how you ever remedy that. And I don't know that taking away $1.6 million is enough, but it's definitely a start, and it should have been done, and we should have been enforcing this since 1973, not just today. But thank you to the Trump administration, we're finally enforcing the law.
Yeah, this is really a big win. What do you see, Jordan, here? I mean, I look at the situation with this intentionally, unnecessarily, and knowingly scheduled nurses or other healthcare professionals who have religious and moral objections to abortion to make them participate in this when they knew that that was the fact. And again, this is a holding from HHS, folks, if you're just joining us. HHS made this conclusion, which is really great.
Well, this is how gross Planned Parenthood is.
Yes.
They get their people in to run hospitals, to run the birthing centers and put those policies in place at hospitals that in the past didn't have elective abortions. So they made sure the former CEO of Planned Parenthood New England became the board of trustees chair for the University of Vermont Medical Center. And so she switched the policy, pushed forward the policy that now we're going to do elective abortions at the hospital. So you see how Planned Parenthood puts their tentacles in every aspect of healthcare so that abortion is in front and center. It's like the hospital has a lot of other things to do, right? But is it surprising to you that is it even shocking to you anymore that the chairman of the board of trustees happens to be a former director of a Planned Parenthood regional office? Regional, not just state, regional. It's not. But you know what we're starting to see? Planned Parenthood is starting to lose. They lost at the Ninth Circuit, so they've lost Title X funding under HHS. Now they've lost here by trying to force pro-life nurses and medical professionals from having to take part in abortions.
Frank, really quickly, and we've had some really big wins on a whole host of issues this year already. How big do you think this one is?
I think this is huge, Jay. I mean, we've been trying for 25, 30 years to get somebody to enforce the Church Amendment, and today it's finally happened. It's the biggest step forward in a long time toward protecting the conscience rights of healthcare workers. We're very proud to be part of it, be able to work on these cases, and I suspect we're going to be working on many more as time goes by.
I think that's absolutely great. So, folks, if you need our assistance, go to aclj.org. If you're in the healthcare field and are being put in this situation, as Wessel's wife was, we want to make sure that we're there to help you. And your support of the ACLJ lets us do this, folks. I mean, without you, we don't get to broadcast every day, so we can keep you informed and educated. We would not have lawyers to dispatch. We wouldn't have production staff to get this broadcast on the air. We can do it because of your support. We are in the last 4 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's it of the matching challenge, and you're not going to hear about that again until November. So this is a very important 4 days for us at the ACLJ. We are about even with last year. I'd like to pull a little bit ahead. That's always the goal, about 5 or 7%. We tell you exactly what it is. It's completely transparent. We want to get about 5 or 7% ahead of last year. We raised about $1,700,000 online last year. We want to obviously increase that. That's the goal. Your support makes a huge difference. So I want to encourage you right now to do something. All there's thousands of you are watching by Facebook, Periscope, at aclj.org, and millions of you listening by radio. Go to aclj.org right now and participate in our matching challenge campaign. Here's how it works. If you donate $10, it's 20. 20 would be 40. 40 would be 80. 80 would be 160. That's because when you donate $10, we have someone that says, I'm matching it. That makes a big difference. So let me encourage you to participate in our matching challenge campaign here at the ACLJ. The best way to do it, the easiest way, Jordan will give you a phone number in a moment, but right now the easiest way is aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Yeah, so folks, if you want to make your donation by phone in this matching challenge month, we had a lot of people call in today and ask about that. Here's the phone number you would call. You'd still be part of the matching challenge. You call our toll-free number right now, 877-989-2255 to make your matching challenge donation by phone right now. 877-989-2255 or donate online at aclj.org. Don't forget the concert tonight.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family.